I'm Al John Goh, co-host of the Disney List podcast as heard on Sorcerer Radio, as well as Skull Rock podcast, here with my wife, Kristen. Hello.
Hello.
You are an earmarked agent who books Disney travel vacations for people all the time. Give our listeners a reason why they want to give you a call instead of just booking a trip by themselves.
Well, I can do all of the legwork for them. I have expertise. I've been to the Disney parks well over 100 times, so they've got that knowledge at their hand, as well as it saves them time and money.
Where can people get in touch with you so that they can book their next Disney cruise, Disney park trip, Adventures by Disney?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. I am tired, y'all. I don't know what to say. Worn out.
We need naps.
Yes. What can I say? It's another Disney List. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Misfits by Ryzen. Did I say that right? Guess so. I said it right. Man, you know, Kristen and I are just dead tired. We're just beat. The kids just beat us up. They just beat us up. And the last few days, even though we've had some sunlight, I recall us, Kristen, doing your podcast, recording live on Facebook, the Dining at Disney podcast, and we had to say sayonara quick because of the tornadoes. But luckily for us, we're okay. Just experienced some light flickering.
And then yesterday was like rain, nonstop pouring down rain that, you know, in our backyard, it looked like there was like a creek, which we don't have a creek in the back, but there was yesterday.
Yeah, it certainly was. Well, anyway, we're okay now. And there's going to be more rain, apparently, which is fine, I guess. You know, you don't have to water the plants. You don't have to water the grass.
That's true.
It's just trying to mow the grass when the water is pooled up in your yard. You're like, we're just going to wait till it dries a little bit. It's okay. Oh, thanks. Todd is in the chat. Glad y'all are good. Tim says, I got to listen to the podcast live and not diss the gym. Oh, yay. All right. Hey, Lindsay. Lindsay's joining us in the chat. If you are joining us from any one of our other podcast pages and Disney fan pages, feel free to interact with us right here at facebook.com/TheDisneyList. And there you can interact with us as we go live. Click the bell for notifications. And before we get started with this week's theme, Kristen, what are we talking about today?
We are talking our top 10 females that are featured in Disney park rides.
Yep, kind of wrapping up Women's History Month, Women's Month, with this particular one. And I think if you listen to our show last year, you'll actually hear some of our favorite female characters, which is kind of cool. But which isn't kind of cool. I mean, it's a cool show. If you want to go back in the archive and check it out. But I think this is going to be neat because you think about our favorite females, and there's a lot of great females in our Disney rides. It was kind of hard to pick just 10 because there's plenty of them in there. And some attractions actually have several. So we're going to talk about that. Before we get started, I've had some friends email me about how they are looking at booking their Disney trips finally, and they would like you to help them, Kristen. So if you're looking to book your trip, or if you've already booked your trip but need some expert help, you can actually transfer your existing trip, if you booked it directly with Disney, to someone like Kristen, who has the knowledge to help you. She is very knowledgeable. Kristen, where can people email you to help you them to help themselves by booking with you?
They can contact me at themeparksandcruises@gmail.com.
Hey, why should they book with you?
Well, it doesn't cost them anything at all.
There you go.
And I can help them with fast passes when it comes to dining reservations. And if a better deal becomes available anytime after they book, I can apply that and save them the money. And they don't have to do anything.
Indeed. Indeed. So please support the show and book your next trip to Disney or Universal or any cruise line that's coming up with Kristen. Once again, themeparksandcruises@gmail.com. Let's get this show started.
The following is a production of the Sorcerer Radio Network.
Fun imagination, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Broadcasting from the Tiki Room Studios in Music City,
it's the Disney List.
The Disney List.
You've got to have characters that the audience, the viewer, the reader cares about.
What makes a hero? What's friendship? What's the idea of sacrificing yourself for something larger?
With the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
Disney List on Sorcerer Radio. With your hosts, Kristen and Aljon.
Wow. Happy day. Aljon here, lifelong Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars fan, once again at the helm, joined by my wonderful and lovely, talented, beautiful co-hostess with the mostest, Kristen from Dining at Disney Podcast. Hello.
Hello.
Had an awesome week this week, didn't you, on the show?
Yes, it was a fun show.
What'd you talk about?
We talked about our top five places to dine for families who want someplace nice but are on a budget.
Yeah, my number one kind of blew it out a little bit, you know, because it's expensive to eat at Coral Reef.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd call it expensive.
No, it's, well, maybe it's because I always eat something super expensive there. But I encourage everyone to please check out and subscribe to the Disney List podcast. So that was a lot of fun this week.
You mean Dining at Disney Podcast?
I mean Dining at Disney Podcast. Well, of course, also subscribe to this show, Disney List. But also subscribe to that. And this week, before I forget, Skull Rock Podcast and Dave Bosser from Skull Rock Podcast and myself, we do the podcast at Skull Rock.
Wow.
We had Disney producer and animator Chuck Williams, and Chuck did so much. He was the executive producer for Brother Bear, worked on Pocahontas as producer, Pinocchio, and I should say the, you know, Rescuers Down Under, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, so many things. But the latest thing he's done with his production company is actually he produced Sonic, the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Gotcha.
So just super, super cool, man. I hope everybody does check out Skull Rock Podcast as well. It's a lot of fun. But anyway, we have an awesome show for you on Sorcerer Radio and on demand at the Disney List, at everybody's favorite podcast platforms. We're going to talk about our favorite top 10 females in Disney park rides. And there's a lot more than 10 for sure, but we just wanted to narrow it to a top 10 list of our favorites, our standouts, if you will. But before we get started, Kristen, I wanted to talk a little bit about not only are our kids kicking our butts and we're just so incredibly out of it right now. So this is like reality TV, just like the real world in our house. You know, we're not talking about solving the world's problems. We're just trying to, you know, keep these kids from eating us up, eating us out alive, like being crazy. They're crazy. Kids are crazy.
She has a lot of energy.
Children are wearing me out. Children wear me out. But I wanted to say that the latest episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier was pretty amazing, don't you think?
Yes. Yes, it was.
You've been digging it?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I cannot wait. I was telling Dave this on the other podcast on Skull Rock that I love Disney, Marvel. Okay, I love Marvel Studios because they don't dwell on the cape or the mask. They dwell on the people that wear it, the actual people, how Bucky, the Winter Soldier, is so lost in this world that he finds himself where he's, you know, trying to find a mission. He doesn't have somebody that believes in him like Captain America did, Chris Evans, Captain America. And they were such good friends, but they went two different paths and he's trying to do good. He's trying to be a good person and he's struggling with it. And then you have Sam Wilson, who is dropped in the middle of this, you know, situation that we're all in globally right now. And he's also trying to do good and he's trying to live up to the expectation that Captain handpicked him to be the next Captain America and he turned it down. And now that you have this really bad Xerox copy of Captain America that is just a punk, in my opinion. It's just like the guy you love to hate. I mean, he means well, but he's kind of like the kid that you know, got the keys to a brand new sports car and didn't drive around in a beat up car first. You know what I mean? That's the way I look at him, right? When, you know, we went into high school and you had those friends, like I drove around in a very old 1979 Chevette. That's what I drove around in. And then I had my friends and some of them were just, look, and if you're that kid, great. I'm happy for you. Like you got a brand new car off the bat. And I'm like, hey, awesome. Good on you. But I didn't grow up with a lot of money. So I'm sitting there like, here's my old car. And you did the same thing, right? You drove used car. You know,
I had a Fiero.
Yeah. And then these kids pull up in these really hot cars and you're like, oh, wow, that's just super cool, man. That's amazing. You know, and then this is that's how I feel about this new Captain America, the U.S. agent Captain America. He comes rolling in. He's got the shield, sparkly new outfit. He gets the marching band to play his intro. And then you have Sam Wilson going, why did I give up that shield? I'm such a dummy, you know.
What's funny is he looks nothing. Like, there's no way you would guess that Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson were his siblings.
I'd have no idea. No. But he does kind of look like Kurt Russell. He's got that square jaw.
He's weird looking. There's something just not, I don't know, something weird about his face.
We saw these memes of him in the Captain America helmet. And his ears sticking out, and he kind of looks like Carl from Up.
Did you see that? It's his nose. There's something weird with his nose.
Oh, my Lord. Todd in the chat says, going in a good direction. I couldn't agree more. I really could. And what I love about it is that they take the time to really throw in a bunch of these nice comic book references. So the reverence for source material is always on point. They did that with WandaVision, kind of throwing in those little things from the comic books. And I always tell Kristen, oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's a great reference. It's, you know, because I grew up reading those books and I was, you know, Marvel Unlimited comic book subscriber. So I'm like reading comic books all the time when I was on the road and doing stuff. So I love my Marvel comics. I love them.
You know what also is cool?
Yes.
I know somebody who's in it.
I know, right?
Yes, Aaron Haynes. Yeah, Aaron Haynes. He's on the dance side of Rockstar, and
you worked as an after school program before the pandemic. Yes.
Yes, and he plays
nephew.
Sam's nephew, the younger of the two.
This kid.
You know what? You know,
kid,
I knew
kid, talented kid.
I knew when he got the part that he was going to be in that show.
Oh, yeah. He couldn't say anything because of the NDA. Couldn't disclose it. So you're telling him you're telling him now he disclosed it?
His mom did. his mom.
I can't believe my son is going to be in Disney Plus. Like, that's awesome. Great. Good. I mean, no, he deserves it. He deserves it for sure. A little bit of news here. Magic Kingdom restaurant serving breakfast for a limited time. Did you see this? It's the Lunching Pad, known for serving up snacks, is going to be doing breakfast during the 2020 holiday season. So there you have it. So check it out.
2020. You know it's 2021.
Yeah, 2021. Oh, Lord. Yeah.
From 9 to 10:30 a.m.
And there you go. So they're going to be serving some cool stuff. The Cheshire Cat tail that they're serving is pretty yummy. You see, look at that Cheshire Cat tail. I like it. I like it a lot. Speaking of Marvel, Chadwick Boseman wins the award for best actor at the 2021 NAACP Image Awards. Of course, posthumously, because he passed away from cancer, as everyone knows, back in August of last year. But he was recognized as being a great entertainer, of course, for outstanding actor in motion picture for a Black Panther and his role in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is great. Chadwick Boseman, what an amazing talent. And, of course, well-earned. And I'm sure he'll probably also receive an Oscar as a result of his work. But, gosh, man, I hate that. I still, my heart still aches for Chadwick Boseman. Because look at that guy right there. I mean, what a talented guy. Gone too soon.
Oh, yeah.
Gone too soon. But anyway, that is pretty much the pop culture news. We wanted to just kind of touch on that before we get into the awesome, awesome top 10 list. Matt in the chat. What up, Matt? Matt Carrillo, what's up? If you're in the chat, once again, you can interact with us live by clicking the link and the bell for notifications there at the Disney List on Facebook. Please feel free to do that. Let us get into this week's top 10. Yeah. Man, oh man. All right, Kristen.
Yes.
What is our list?
Top 10 females in the Disney park attractions.
It's a hard one. It's a hard one because there are so many great females in Disney park attractions. And once again, this is wrapping up Women's Month. You know, this March, every month, every March this year, we always have these great female spotlights. And in fact, we say, Todd says, here's to hoping Disney keeps focus on strong female characters like they seem to have lately. You know, there has been that. I think it's just important to note that, you know, it's all about character for me. If the character is written very well, then the story should be good. You know, I'm not all about just putting in a female character or a male character or having diversity if it's not written well. It doesn't make any sense. It's got to be written well. It's got to be written well. And then that just pays tribute to the people that they are, regardless of the color of their skin and or regardless of their gender, for that matter. I mean, Merida is a great example of a great female, strong, but it serves the story. And the same can be said about Moana. Gosh, I love Moana. And we could go on and on about our favorite Disney films and Marvel films. I mean, you're a fan of Gamora. You know, Gamora is just such a kick-butt character, and Black Widow. I think it's a shame.
Scarlet Witch.
I think it's a shame that they had to wait to, quote, you know, to have the character of Black Widow have her solo movie. And what unfortunate timing, you know, with 2020 and everything, but to have it done after the character was kind of written off and all that, because, you know, there was an old guard at Marvel that would not do a female fronted movie. But since then, since Kevin Feige really took over the reins and said, we're going to do it, you know, DC beat him to the punch, you know, with Wonder Woman, which was well done, but, you know, it should have been Scarlett Johansson. It should have been, we should have had a Black Widow movie way before Captain, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Way before Captain Marvel, because people love the character of Black Widow. But needless to say, these attractions are iconic, and they're iconic, you know, with these characters. And I think they are definitely better attractions because of them. And there's some mystery involved with some of them. And of course, the beloved characters, of course. So, Kristen, shall we start off with
number 10,
Snow White?
Snow White. In which attraction?
Well, you have two attractions, because you have over at Disneyland, Snow White's Scary Adventures.
That's right.
And then at Walt Disney World, you have the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So it could be either one.
Yep. I like Snow White in the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It's cool. It's cool to see her. And of course, the celebratory scene at the end, too, is also fun. You know, but the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is mostly about the dwarves.
That's true.
Instead of Snow White's Scary Adventures, which also has a couple scenes with Snow White. A couple more scenes, I would say. But yeah, Snow White's in there. Just a beloved original character for sure.
Number 9.
Minnie Mouse.
Okay. I put Minnie there because I haven't actually been to the ride because it opened up at a weird time that we weren't able to see and experience the ride. But I would be remiss if I didn't include her in some way because the ride is pretty awesome. I mean, have you seen, you know, the ride?
No, because you know I won't watch the videos.
Well, I really dig it, you know. The Runaway Railway at Disney Hollywood Studios is a lot of fun. And I think it's great to have Mickey and Minnie represented there in that attraction, in their own attraction.
Yes.
No doubt. And so please give it a chance. Check it out if you can. It's zany, it's cartoony, and it's a lot of fun. And Minnie's my jam. Every time Minnie comes up to me during a character meet and greet. I always get the blushes because she always wants to give me kisses. And she is absolutely adorable. We love Minnie Mouse here on the show. We really do. Love Minnie Mouse. Absolutely love it. So we are now at
number 8.
Okay, so 7 and 8 are tied. So it's taken up both spots, 7 and 8. And that would be Anna and Elsa from the Frozen attraction over at Epcot. Frozen Ever After.
Frozen Ever After.
Yes.
So, and talk about prominent. They're prominent for sure. It's kind of hard not to speak about Anna and not talk about Elsa and vice versa. They're joined at the hip as sisters in fiction, but also I think in the hearts and minds of a lot of people, Anna and Elsa are, they're spoken in the same breath together. Don't you think?
Yes.
I don't know. Voyage to Arendelle aboard this ancient Nordic vessel as you take a tour of the wintry world of Frozen. Yay. And I think they're fun. And once again, great attraction and a lot of fun having, of course, the two girls there and Olaf. It's good. It's good to see Olaf. It's good to see Kristoff. It's good to see the warm hugs and the sunflowers there in Arendelle. Right? And it's, you know, and there it's in, you know, it's Nordic. It's fun. What else can you say about that? I don't know.
I do have to say that I really like the costumes that they come up with for both Anna and Elsa. Very different. Anna's always have a lot of like greens in hers, whereas Elsa's always like along the lines of being blue. But I think it's there are very nice colors that go complement each other.
Yeah, she's got the, you know, Anna's got the Mother Earth and nature tones, and Elsa's got the Ice Queen, you know, frost, ice power.
It's like summer and winter.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Opposites. Mm-hmm. I can see it. And you can see it in their hairstyles too.
Well, and Anna's dresses always have flowers on them too.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I mean, once, yeah, it is life. I don't want to say life and death, right? But it is the opposites. You have cold and warm, you know? It's kind of that whole thing. Anyway, wow, we've talked a lot about this attraction. I wasn't expecting to, but we're talking a lot about this attraction.
Number six
is Ariel.
Yes.
And she has two different attractions that you can see her in. She's over at, Journey... Oh my gosh. I just drew a blank.
What, Voyage of the Little Mermaid?
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I'm like, Journey. Why am I thinking Journey? Help me. Okay. Yes. Voyage of the Little Mermaid. Oh my gosh. And then the Undersea Adventure that she has.
Yeah. She is in a lot of attractions. She's in a lot of attractions. But, you know,
And she has a meet and greet there.
Yes. Yes. So she's everywhere. Voyage of the Little Mermaid. But definitely we were talking about more so the ride, right? We're not talking about, I mean, there's Ariel everything because you have the Voyage of the Little Mermaid full show, and then you have Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid attraction, you know?
That's where I got the word journey from. There we go.
Yeah, that's it. Yes. A song-filled celebration. As you revisit the classic tale of how one lucky mermaid found true love and her legs there under the sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid, board a clamshell and be part of Ariel's world on a magical musical adventure. Watch the scenes from the anime classic. So, yeah, Ariel, awesome. We love Ariel. She's great. And I think, her hair has gone through several different incarnations in that attraction.
She had the
Dole Whip hair, and then she went back to the floating hair that has the...
Where it's like a ponytail.
Yeah, she's got the little ponytail thing. You know, she's got the thing going on. But, you know, I think if you didn't mention this attraction, there'd be something wrong with you because she is definitely, you know, a big part of this.
I will say I do like the one at Walt Disney World better because it has the better queue.
Okay.
Hands down, better queue.
You know, I said we'd be doing these ride attractions, and I realized that the next one that we have is not a ride.
No, it's not. It's an attraction, but not a ride.
All right. Well, I'd say we pop in somebody else in that, because it doesn't make any sense. Who else is going to come to be our wild card for this?
Number five.
We have wild cards. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be, Kristen?
I'm going to go with Princess Leia.
Okay. Yes. Princess Leia is featured in Star Tours because she asks you to be the rebel spy, join the Rebel Alliance and get the plans, and then, you know, crash and burn and deliver the plans with C-3PO at the helm of the Star Tours, Star Speeder 3000.
The spy. You have to deliver the spy.
You have to deliver the spy. Yes, you deliver the spy.
I've never been the spy in all the times I've written that.
I don't think I've ever been the spy either. And I've made funny faces into the camera and did everything funny. And I'm never the rebel spy. I was that guy. I was that funny guy in Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor and got the sticker to put on the old chest here. But I never was the rebel spy. So I could never get that t-shirt. I was the rebel spy. Pains me. Pains me to no end, but that's okay. Some other person got to be chosen. Their heart may not be as Star Wars as my heart. That's okay. I don't fault them for that. I don't fault them for that at all. But Princess Leia, once again, when you talk about strong females in any universe, Marvel, Disney, or otherwise, I think Princess Leia should be at the top of the list, because once again, she don't need no saving. She was doing just fine all by herself. She didn't need rescuing.
That's true.
She would have found a way off that Death Star without Luke Skywalker. I guarantee it. Although it is
she
kind
did
of,
save Han after all.
She did save Han in Jedi, which was awesome. And she had an awesome bounty hunter costume. You know, it's funny how she went from bounty hunter costume that was fully clothed and then went to that bikini for Jabba the Hutt in literally 5 minutes. She wasn't really happy about that either, but, you know, we miss Carrie Fisher for sure. Alrighty then.
Number four
is Gamora.
She's tough as nails, isn't she?
Yes.
Don't mess with Gamora. Gamora gonna kick you in the butt. And Gamora, part of the crazy, crazy Guardians of the Galaxy mission breakout. And she's going to say, you know, look, you know, we got to get up on out of here and get away from the collector and stuff. And it is great to see Zoe Saldana reprise her role as the legendary Gamora master assassin from Guardians of the Galaxy. What do you think?
Yes. I like that character.
Oh,
she's
yeah?
She's a cool character.
So what is it about her that you like so much? I'm surprised.
I don't know.
I'm surprised.
You're surprised what?
I'm surprised she doesn't mess around with a sword as much as she does in the comic book, because she always has these swords. She's a great swords fighter. Is that a name for it? I would say she's not a swordsmith, because that's a sword maker, but a swords... Well, and she's a woman. She's a swordswoman, right? Sword woman? Anyway, she fights with a sword pretty well.
She's an ace
at the blade. So anyway, I'm surprised they don't do more with her. You know, she's usually firing guns, which is nice. I mean, you know, she's you remember that gun she like broke off from the ship and started firing at her sister Nebula?
Yeah.
She started, that's crazy. But anyway, Mission Breakout, great attraction. And I think her and Nebula are both great characters, but I think for sure it's great to see Gamora in that attraction. All right, here we are. We're almost done.
Number three.
That would be Red from Pirates of the Caribbean.
We had this a friend pop in to Dining at Disney. Michael Clark made a comment saying, every time I want to go to Disney, I'm always super psyched. And then I realize that they do something to fix whatever political correctness is happening. And it goes, am I wrong about that? Am I wrong that they're trying to fix political correctness, be politically correct with these attractions? And I said, well, I didn't say anything, but, you know, I get it. You know, there are some things that aren't, necessarily politically correct about some of the past. Pirates themselves are definitely not politically correct. They're not lovable people. They pillage, they plunder, and those are just the good things. So, but I think overall, my love of Pirates of the Caribbean as an attraction in every Disney park is not diminished by the fact that they have replaced the redhead that went up for quote unquote the auction, quote unquote, but have replaced it with a very strong redheaded pirate called Red. That's just my opinion. Other people will probably differ and probably want the old Pirates attraction.
We watch the redhead.
I don't. I want to know what you think in the chat. You know, I know that this topic has kind of come and gone. You know, we've all just kind of learned to live with it. But Pirates, to me, is still a very classic attraction. It's fun. I enjoy it. And you know, there may be some fun loving pirates. At least at Disney, there's fun loving pirates, but not without. You know, I mean, look, you dunked the mayor in the well, for heaven's sake, the mayor.
Well, there's the guy that's there drunk with the cats.
Oh, you know. Someone's got to look after the cats. It wasn't that guy, but someone's got to look after the cats. But Red is a great character, and it doesn't bother me. I think it's great that they're able to show that there can be and is a strong woman pirate, and I'm cool with that. You know, maybe not cool with the auctions in this day and age, but I think at the time, you know, it was what it was, a relic of its time, you know? Anyway.
I'm still for the We Wants the Redhead.
We Wants the Redhead.
I mean, you can't chant anything now.
Well, you still can chant that if you want. You're just chanting for Red the Redhead. Uh-huh. The Red the Pirate. Lindsay says, I like We Wants the Redhead. That's what she's saying. I like it. It's funny to me. Yeah, it's funny to me too. And Joan in the chat, one of our top friends with the badge, she says, I like the old one, but I do like the redhead as a pirate. Mm-hmm. We wants the rum. Hey, look, I'm dying for some alcohol right now. We need to go on a BEEERRUN beer run immediately. That's what I'm saying. What?
We just need somebody to bring it to us.
Postmates? Do they deliver beer? DoorDash, do they deliver alcohol?
I think they do now.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Number two.
We're up to our last two, Kristen. Can you believe it?
Yes, I can.
All right. Who's up next?
Madame Leota. Madame Leota. Floating head.
When I drink, you filibuster.
So Madame Leota is a floating head.
You are the worst. I sit here and I look, so the people at home are watching the Facebook Live and I'm sitting here trying to get some water, trying to.
You need to wait till we get to number one for me to talk. You picked Madame Leota to go at number two.
Yeah, but you don't like Madame Leota?
I do, but I don't have I don't know what do you say about Madame Leota. She's a cool floating head.
She's right. What more can be said?
I don't know.
Madame Leota's cool. She's a floating head. You know, she's got a lot of things going on in the background. Plus, she is flanked by a nice raven, you know, sitting there. I mean, I think the Haunted Mansion is cool. You've got the ghost host. You've got ghost dudes. But you have also ghost women and scary ghost women in there. Madame Leota just happens to be one of the coolest little tricks that they're pulling from their Imagineering trick book. But what's not to love about Madame Leota? Is there anything you would like to mention about Madame Leota?
No. No.
Well, I can tell you that it was interesting to see Madame Leota in the Haunted Mansion movie we saw during Halloween. We saw it again.
You know what? You don't know.
Jennifer Tilly, right?
You don't know if Madame Leota is a good spirit or a bad spirit.
It says here in the Disney Wiki that Madame Leota, ghostly character from the Haunted Mansion, originally conceived to be a character in the Haunted Mansion, Leota's character has been explained to be featured in multiple Disney attractions as well as a feature film originally portrayed by Leota Toombs, while Eleanor Audley voiced her. And there you go. There she is, the disembodied head. It's wonderful. Surrounded by mystery, the motives seem to be vague, though a lot of interpretations lean toward her being a good or at least neutral force. Kristen, there you go. She generally favors speaking in rhyme as her incantations seem to be based around it. So there you have it, Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it. So,
but that's speculation that she is good or neutral.
Yes, she's lawful.
There's neutral. No proof.
Lawful neutral.
You don't
there
know.
There you go. So some of her powers include telekinesis. She's able to communicate with the dead, fortune telling, fates, and using tarot cards. Other relatives include Little Leota.
Hurry back.
That's right. There you go.
Hurry back.
Go ahead.
Be sure to bring your death certificate.
It's pretty good. I like it.
Number one.
Kristen.
And it's Constance Hathaway.
From the Haunted Mansion.
The Widow Bride.
Yes. Why is she your favorite? Why is she at number one, Kristen?
She's number one because she had so many husbands and she killed them with the hatchet. No, that's the coolest room in there. I mean, in the whole Haunted Mansion, it's such a cool room with all those different things from each of her different weddings. And I just think it's a cool character.
So one great thing I can say about Constance Hathaway is when they upgraded the attraction and they put this projection on top of her and you got to see the beating heart and you saw the hatchet kind of materialize in front of you.
It is better than that red glowing heart that
man,
they had.
Man, it is
before.
So cool. I mean, it's like a video game almost. I don't even know how to describe it, but just seeing that hatchet just materialize in front of you like that is super cool. And she glows that nice ghoulish blue. So, and I think Kat Cressida did an amazing job with her voice. Just a great character. But once again, Constance Hathaway, here's some background on Constance. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Story time. Constance Hathaway came from Money County, California. And over the years, she's married 5 different wealthy and powerful men, then murdered them with her hatchet and kept their heads as souvenirs inside hat boxes. Interesting hobby. A collector, very much like the governor in The Walking Dead. By her 5th husband, she came into possession of the Haunted Mansion. Whether it's in New Orleans or upstate New York depends on whether it's Disneyland or Disney World. And she wound up dying in her old age after a lifetime of happily living off blood money. Whoa. Blood money.
Well, at least she wasn't like Elsa from the Whisperers in The Walking Dead, who put the heads on sticks.
Right. Also known as the Black Widow Bride, Connie, the bride, she was an heiress and a serial killer. I never thought I'd be saying this on that podcast. The murderous bride was a concept dating back to Mark Davis's sketching portrait concepts and would serve as inspiration when Disney Imagineers would revamp the attic scene and its popular bride character in 2006. Utilizing a similar projection effect similar to Madame Leota's, Constance would have filmed a body and a separate voice actor, Kat Cressida, voices her, while Julia Lee was a performance model for her. Her husbands are, did you know this, in chronological order?
Okay.
Ambrose Harper,
mm-hmm.
A naive but well-intentioned son of a successful farmer in 1869. Franz Banks, an Eastern banker and community pillar in 1872. The Marquis de Dome, a foreign diplomat with a military past, 1874. Reginald Kane, a celebrated railroad baron, gambler, and world-renowned Gromond, is that how that is? 1875. And George Hightower, an aristocrat and owner of the mansion in 1877. So there you go, Kristen.
And you can see their names on the pictures, their wedding pictures.
There you go. Joan says, hatch away, and she put a little hatchet in the chat. And let's see. Lindsay says, I love that part in Haunted Mansion. Man, it's my favorite part, next to the Pepper's Ghost dancing scene, the ballroom. But I like this because there's so many rich things. When you go through her section of the attraction, you look left, you look right. There's always a little something to be seen there that's in the shadows. And there's always little things, especially if I... For the most part, when you and I ride the Doom Buggy, you are sitting on my to my left. So when we go across these things in the room, I have to kind of look over you to see if there's anything in that room.
I'm to your right.
I'm to your right?
I am to your right.
Oh.
I sit on that side of you because I always get in first.
Really? Oh, I guess you do. Well, I totally blew that.
Yep.
Oh, well, so much for that. I guess we should just wrap up the show. Hey, did you like that? Hey, who else was on our...
the other people that are
in the... Yeah, who else are on... Who's on our backup list? Because that was a good top 10.
Well, you have Jesse from Midway Toy Story, Mania.
Midway, yeah.
The Avatar from Pandora.
Oh, the...
And the...
The
in the boat ride?
Yes, yes. The shaman, yes.
You have Elastigirl from Incredicoaster. I almost called it California Screamin'.
You know, the Incredicoaster, we could have used a lot more of her and Edna Mode in that, for sure, I feel. But you know what? That's cool. They had their 5 seconds in the attraction.
You have Alice from the Alice in Wonderland attraction over at Disneyland.
Could have been in our top 10.
And Ray in Star Tours.
Yes. Honorable mention will also go out to Belle because she is part of an attraction, but it's not a ride. There was story time with Belle, you know? She could have had her own action adventure ride, maybe. I don't know.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. Chasing Gaston, you know, after throwing the beast down. It would have been Belle's revenge.
Or her going to rescue her dad.
Yes.
Going through the...
I still like the idea of Beauty and the Beast, Belle's revenge. Belle gets serious. That's what I'm saying. I think so.
Oh,
anyway,
gosh.
I know, right? I don't know. Hey, look. We're out of time. How much do we love you? Let me count the ways. One of those ways that you can show us that you love us would be by subscribing to this show. Give us those hearts, y'all. Give us those hearts. Subscribe to the show. Share the show over social. Leave us those 5-star reviews on our podcast platforms. Could be Apple Podcast. Definitely could be Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Overcast, Pocket Cast. The list of casts goes on and on. Breaker. We're on all those podcast platforms. So once again, show us you love us, give us a like, share, and subscribe, and those reviews. You can find me, Al John Go, on Instagram, as well as our other podcasts that I produce, Skull Rock Podcast with Dave Bossert. Like I said, we were recently doing our show with Disney producer, animator, extraordinaire Chuck Williams. He's a great, great dude. He just recently did Sonic the Hedgehog, and we talk a little bit about Sonic. But we definitely talked about Brother Bear and Phil Collins, which is awesome. Him working with Phil Collins and working with Joaquin Phoenix and the rest of the talented cast and crew of Brother Bear. A very underrated film, in my opinion. What do you think about that?
It's a good movie.
It's good. Mm-hmm. I think it's underrated. You know, it's underrated. A lot of those Disney movies from that era are very underrated. But anyway, we talk about that. And, you know, they did Brother Bear there from the Orlando studio there at the park. So that's kind of cool that they did an animation there. And he talked about what life was like when you were working under the scrutiny of the fishbowl, when people would knock on the glass and say hi to all the people there working on that film. But anyway, please check out Skull Rock Podcast, my other podcast with former Disney Imagineer and special projects animator, filmmaker Dave Bossert. So please do that. Anyway, Kristen, go ahead.
You can check out Dining at Disney at diningatdisney.com. Follow us on all the social media places. You can also subscribe to the podcast via Anchor or one of your other favorite platforms. Last show, was a Disney happy hour show where we discussed our top five nice Disney restaurants for families on a budget.
Absolutely. So. We'd like to wish everybody a happy Easter, too, because next week we're going to have off. So we'll do a best of show. There's a lot of really cool best of shows for sure. But what else did you want? We have a lot of other people we want to definitely drop some love to.
WDW Park Hoppers, Park Hopper Sid and Park Hopper John talk about all things Walt Disney World park hopping. And then you have Disney Parks Podcast with Tony and John, and they talk about everything having to do with the Disney parks, both Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
Yep. Also sending a shout out to our friends there at the Sorcerer Radio Disney Fun Zone there. So please join that group there on Facebook, as well as Kristen's Dining at Disney Facebook. Man, Dining at Disney on Facebook, that group is blowing up. And we'd also give a shout out to our other great group of friends there at the Disney Dorks. So please check that group out. A bunch of fun-loving Disney fans there at the Disney Dorks and all of those places. So outstanding. Love you. I love you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Kristen, I love you too.
You better.
Yeah. My better half says so. So thank you so much for joining us. We love you too. Don't forget, you're the reason why we do this show. Yes.
And if you have tried the Peeps Pepsi, I want to know, what did you think about the Peeps Pepsi that they came out with for Easter? That's what I want to know.
It can't be good.
I don't know. It's got to be better than regular Pepsi.
Are we going to buy some Peeps Pepsi over the week and tell everybody what we think and doing a drink show?
Just sure.
A quick Peeps Pepsi
Sure, we can
update.
Because I don't like cola and I really dislike Pepsi. So, you know, marshmallow Peeps flavor, got to make it better.
I guess. We'll try it. We'll try it. I'm not a fan of Pepsi either. I'm a Coke person. But we'll try the Peeps Pepsi, and we'll let you know what we think. And if I don't like it after the first sip, I'm adding alcohol to it. So plain and simple. Plain and simple. Thank you for joining us on the show. We heart you, 3,000. Till next time, I'm Al John.
And I'm Kristen.
And we'll see you real soon.
This podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or its holdings and is intended for entertainment purposes.
Music made possible by Replay Heroes. Check out Replay Heroes at Replay Heroes on Facebook.
I'm Kristen Hetzel, co-host of Dining at Disney podcast. Every week I chat about dining at Disneyland and Walt Disney World Resort and Disney Cruise Line with my fellow foodie, Bubba. We also feature restaurants and food reviews, information to help you plan your dining, Disney food news, recipes, and a monthly panel discussion. Visit diningatdisney.com and subscribe to Dining at Disney podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcast platform. Dining at Disney podcast, the happiest plate on earth.
Skull Rock Podcast, talking all things Disney with your hosts, Al John Goh and Dave Bossert.
Do you just love to learn more about the magic that embodies animated films, theme park attractions, and more? The all-encompassing universe created and produced by the genius of Walt Disney has spanned nearly 100 years and counting.
From his earliest film endeavors with the Laugh-O-Gram cartoons and the Alice comedies, to the creation of Mickey Mouse, to the first animated feature film, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and then dreaming of Disneyland, Walt Disney continuously raised the creative bar, and today his company has carried on that tradition as a global entertainment juggernaut. I'm Dave Bossert, artist, filmmaker, and author.
And I'm Al John Goh, musician, podcaster, and radio guy. Every week, Dave and I will explore the entertainment galaxy that is Disney with insightful conversation, stories, and special guests talking all things Disney.
Listen to never-before-heard stories and behind-the-scenes moments from some of your favorite Disney films, theme park attractions, performances, books, music, and so much more from knowledgeable, insightful, and thought-provoking hosts and guests. Hear the latest news about Disney past, present, and future.
Skull Rock Podcast is your go-to source for the magic we all love. Skull Rock Podcast. Visit skullrockpodcast.com.